is Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun-Sentinel. And Omar's had a busy week, man. You've what has it been, the last 2 days? You've done a little midday action, Omar. How you doing, man?
Yeah, two shifts of midday action. You know, I'll take any shift as long as they tell me that you're going to have to fill in for Alex Donald. And I'm like, oh, my God, heavy lifting.
Well, what is it like? And you said it before that you feel like this is that this 6 to 10 p.m. is the toughest shift in radio. I'm so used to it now because I've been doing it for like 4.5 years. But what is it about this shift that makes you feel like this is the toughest one to do?
One, with sporting events going on at this time, people are already watching it. They're
I'm with you on that.
They're not paying attention to that. Then people aren't driving, or generally, you know, maybe you're getting them in the 6 o'clock hour, so they're driving and paying attention. And who's at home really listening to their radio? I don't want to, you know, defame QAM listeners, but you know, on a Friday night at 6 o'clock, I'm actually at KYU restaurant right now. We just ordered. Nice. I stepped out so I could do my interview.
Look at you.
You know, I'm living my life. So I would expect everybody in South Florida, this is a beautiful day. Weather's great. You should be living your life, not listening to Sports Talk Radio.
Wow. So basically, what Omar Kelly has just done is said that none of you should be listening to this right now.
Everybody listening, stop what you're doing. Go put on your good pair of jeans. Go put on your nice shirt and tell your wife, baby, it's time to go out. I'm taking you out. And give her an hour to get ready because you know that's how long it's going to take.
Yep.
Well, first tell her to go get ready. Tell her we're leaving here at 7:30 and let's go. And go live your life.
Wow. You see, you're making me feel like I should be living my life. And also, I found out
something. You got a baby. Your life is over.
Oh, yeah. My life has been over for 8.5 months. It's fine. I'm used to it. No, and then I was listening today, Omar, to Hockman and Crowder. And apparently Hawk, Crowder, and Falero, they're all just taking the entire week off next week. So I'm getting very jealous now, right? Because you know me, Omar. I don't take a whole lot of days off. I actually haven't taken I take vacations, but I haven't taken a sick day since 2013.
Oh, I don't feel sorry for you. You go to Japan when you vacation. So what do you want me to do?
Well, but again, not that's not going to happen for years now that the baby is in my life. So my life
true.
Is completely
over. You got that out the way.
But I heard that Hawk, Crowder, and Falero are all taking the entire week off next week. When I got an email last week from our boss, or a couple weeks ago, you know, about next week, I just said, oh, let me have Thanksgiving Day off. I'll work all the other days. Now I feel like a putz for agreeing to work those days. Like I feel like I'm getting shaken down or something working all these days.
Hey, man, you just had a baby. You know, you can't be turning the money away. So,
that's true.
You know, you got tuition to pay for.
That is
you
true.
Know, some tuition. Yeah. Any shift Danny calls me about, if I could do it, I'm doing it. Because, you know, this whole marriage thing is kind of expensive.
Yeah, that's right. You're getting into that soon. Let me ask you something about the Dolphins. I think you and Jason Leisure interacted about this on Twitter, if I'm not mistaken. I thought his piece was very interesting on Adam Gase saying, hey, you shouldn't be talking about firing him. You should be talking about extending him, you know, and he brought up
I want
your thoughts on that, Omar, because you know, at this point now that we're 2.5 seasons into Adam Gase's tenure, you're obviously not getting the results you want. You know, aside from they did sneak into the playoffs the first year, but you're not currently getting the results you want to get. But there certainly are a lot of other things happening around this team, surrounding injuries, other wacky circumstances. How do you evaluate Adam Gase 2.5 years in?
I start with a simple sentence, which is what his agent is going to say to Steve Ross or any prospective coach any prospective owner that's looking for a head coach. His record right now is 21-21 in 3 years with the Miami Dolphins. Has led the team to the playoffs in one season, the only season where he's actually had his quarterback for the majority of the season.
Mm.
He's right now 21-21 and coached 25 games without his starting quarterback. Who does that?
I can't name you anyone who's done that, to be honest with you.
I know he can coach. Now, do I know if he's an offensive guru? The jury's out on that. Do I know if he's a quarterback whisperer? The jury's out on that. I do know he can coach. I'm aware he can coach. You know, you're 21-21 and you're 5-5 with this roster. This roster, most people expected this roster wouldn't win six games.
Right.
You're 25 and you're 5-5 with this roster, and it's been decimated by injuries. It's got a horrible offense. It's got a defense that's last in the league defending the run. Which is always the number one priority of defenses trying to do. So clearly, if you're 5-5 with all of that craziness going on, playing games without your offensive tackle, playing games with two receivers getting an injury, playing games with two practice squad guys as your starting defensive ends, which they've had to do for a little stretch, you can coach.
You know, I think I've talked to you about this before, that, one of my thoughts on Adam Gase is I think he's a lot more competent and a lot better suited for this job than fans give him credit for. I think maybe fans don't really understand some of this stuff. But
fans don't know what they're talking about.
So my opinion on Adam Gase is, if his tenure...
Let me go on an Omar rant.
I love it.
Because only you allow me to do these Omar rants.
That's right.
You know why fans don't know what they're talking about?
Why?
Because every minute fans are saying, fire this guy.
Yes.
Fire that guy.
I just did a segment about how everyone wants to fire Mark Richt. I know.
Yes. And so when you fire somebody, you're starting fresh. The new guy's going to come in and say, I want to run a 3-4. And then all that you've built to the 4-3, not to say that there's much in the storehouse right now, because they really don't have much to build off on this team. But the next guy coming in is going to say, oh, I want to run a 3-4. Now you're going to spend 2 years getting 3-4 stuff, 3-4 players. I want to run a West Coast offense. You're going to spend the next 2 years getting the West Coast offense, the West Coast players. And what people don't factor in is there's collateral loss when you keep switching from this guy to that guy to this guy to that guy. Now, if a head coach is like Cam Cameron and shows you he clearly can't get the job done, I can understand. And I do understand the crowd that says Adam Gase isn't getting the job done. We haven't developed a quarterback. Look at this offense. This offense is a bottom dweller in every category that's important. And they are valid. Those are valid criticisms. But then you have to remind them, 25 games without your starting quarterback. What do you expect with Brock Osweiler as your quarterback? What did you really expect with Brock Osweiler as your quarterback?
Now, do you have any idea or any inclination on how Stephen Ross might feel about this? Do you think that Adam Gase's seat is getting hot, or does he feel the way that you feel about this?
I think that Steve Ross is, and I think that he is emotionally, and I hate to say this because fans are going to take it the wrong way. He's defeated. And it's very, and I feel sad about it. And it hurts my heart because I know how emotionally invested he is in this, but I sat down with him at an owner's meeting and he expressed his frustration. He was like, no matter what I tried, I'm great in the industry I'm in. I'm actually standing across from a real related building that's in front of the KYU, KYU restaurant, which literally they put up in 5 months. He's a master at what he does.
Yeah, but as an example of that, I see, because I'm at Hard Rock Stadium broadcasting live, before every Hurricanes game. I'm there for every Dolphins home game. I see just how fast they built that damn tennis center, Omar. It's it just appeared out of thin air. And when they did the Hard Rock renovations, that appeared out of thin air too.
He's a master at what he does. There's nobody really better at what he does than, commercial real estate than him. But building a franchise, he admits, I've been horrible at it.
Wow.
I'm horrible. I'm horrible. And it's one of my major disappointments in life. I'm a failure at this. And that broke my heart, and I understood where he was coming from, because no matter what he tried, it didn't work. But the only thing that he's never done is he's never done a complete reset at one time. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the only thing that's left to do. The problem is I can't name anybody that I'd want to give full power to and let them just decide everything and do everything.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I while I'm not comfortable with the direction the franchise is and what they've done to build this franchise, I can't really name you anybody I'd rather give the franchise to. Now, if somebody pops up or somebody recommends a name, trust me, I've asked. The best thing that people could tell me is, hey, Peyton Manning, give him part ownership stake, put him in control like John Elway. And even that, I can't guarantee you, is going to fix anything.
You're right. How do we know he can do that? I mean, we may assume, Peyton Manning, he's a professional, he's great at everything he does, but how do we know
that? Look how great Michael Jordan's been as an owner. You don't. the great players don't necessarily make great GMs or great coaches. So, you know, who knows?
How would you approach this upcoming draft? I understand we don't know what pick they're going to have in the first round, but do you strongly consider, if you're in sort of that sweet spot in the top 11, top 12 that you're usually in, do you really start thinking first round quarterback? Is there another area you rather address? How do you look at that?
Well, today I had Tony Pauline on my show, and he went over the quarterbacks and basically said there's really nothing there. That you, unless you are absolutely falling in love with a player and he gets super hot, this is going to be a weak quarterback class. But I will say this, you're going to have to take one. I don't care if it's the first round, but I believe that you do not draft a quarterback early unless you absolutely love him. If you love him,
yeah.
Like I love Colin Kaepernick, like I love Joe Flacco, like I love Jimmy Garoppolo, if you love him, take him and don't look back and don't have any doubts or regrets. But if you don't love him, don't take him. But so I'm always going to be a best player available kind of position kind of guy. And I know without a doubt this is going to be a good defensive draft, and the Dolphins damn sure need a defensive tackle.
Yep. And on that note, the team has a lot of injuries, a lot of players banged up right now. Fair to say the bye week kind of came at the perfect time for this team.
Yeah, Adam Gase put it best when he said, I'm not even sure I would have had 46 to line up to play the game. And it's true.
Yeah.
Considering the two injuries that he just suffered at wide receiver, you know, the fact that he's trying to get his offensive tackles back, you know, Andre Brandt suffered a separated shoulder. Don't know if you would have had 46 to put out there. But I think that this is at a perfect time. Hopefully they can heal up. Hopefully they get Ryan Tannehill back. And they give this a go and give it a put their best foot forward in the final six games. Hopefully 3-3 is my goal for this team. So hopefully they get there.
Omar, you may have seen these headlines yesterday about Patrick Mahomes from Kansas City. Would you ever put ketchup on steak?
Yes, I would.
Wow!
In fact, when I'm cooking steak at home, sometimes ketchup makes a great gravy. So when you're sauteing a steak, you have a little caramelized butter down there.
I'm in shock.
Ketchup. Brings it out.
We're on complete different ends of the spectrum.
You've just made Tito angry. And Omar, you realize today is Tito's last show. He's moving next week. You've just made him very angry.
Listen, it's all good, Tito. Hopefully you enjoy where you're going. But, I mean, do you cook, Tito? Are you?
I try.
I consider myself a chef. And
I know. I follow. Yeah, I know. I see you on Instagram. You do chef quite often.
Sometimes, trust me, ketchup, I mean, all of this is really tomato-based sauce. Now, I'm not saying that when I cook, I don't really like steak sauce. I'll eat a steak completely dry.
Right.
I don't need anything on it. Oh, I love a little churrasco.
Yeah, now you're speaking my language with the churrasco.
I will say this: when you're cooking that steak, put a little ketchup on the bottom of the frying pan. It brings out a little bit of flavor.
Well, but okay, so you're more talking about like the ketchup, you like combining with the juices of the steak, combining with some butter.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a little bit different than what like Pat Mahomes is doing, where he's taking the ketchup bottle and just pouring it on the steak.
He's never had a good steak.
And Omar, like I said this yesterday, that the person who puts ketchup on steak is probably the same person who orders the steak well done.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. If you order a steak well done at a steakhouse, I have no belief that you actually have any taste buds.
Now we're coming around. We'll end it right there because you hit the high note, Omar. I will let you enjoy your dinner tonight.
I'm like Costanza. End it on a high note and just walk off.
Exactly. Follow this man on Twitter at Omar Kelly and check out his work in the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Thank you so much.
All right, no problem.
All right, so I think I jumped all over him with a ketchup thing, but I guess what he's saying is, like, the ketchup, it gets mixed with butter and the juices, and it kind of becomes, like, a ketchup-based flavor.
It's a
little more acceptable.
I don't know. I'm still on the – because when he said ketchup on steak, I was concerned. And then he mentioned gravy, which I'm not a fan of. He lost me.